Very beautiful. Thank you, ladies, for that. Amen. What a blessing. Turn in your Bibles tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to be in verse 9 tonight, just a little bit down past where we were at this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 9 and go to about verse 9 to verse 15 this evening, just a little bit past where we were this morning. We stopped off at verse 8 this morning, and I brought the message on the quiet kingdom. But you know just as well as I do, things don't stay quiet for long. And so God had definitely blessed Asa with a quiet kingdom for 10 years. And after this 10 years was over, of course, the quietness was gone for a short period of time. But we serve a great God who definitely intervened and helped out in that situation. So I want to take a look at that here tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And we're going to begin there in verse 9, and we'll go to about verse 15 there. I entitled this message, The Overcomer, tonight, because I think in life there are a lot of things that we have to overcome, a lot of things we have to learn to overcome, a lot of things we have to rely on God to help us to overcome, or that He will overcome it for us, different things. But I entitled this message, The Overcomer, tonight because we're going to see, though Asa had a quiet kingdom for 10 years and God had blessed and they had was able to reinforce themselves, and it's a good thing that they did that in the midst. It's a good thing that they did take this time during when the kingdom was quiet to reinforce themselves, because they were about to face something terrible that was coming their way. And as I said this morning, one of the things we want to make sure that we do, I know we call it quiet time, but quiet time doesn't mean lazy time. Does that make sense? Quiet time doesn't mean lazy time. Quiet time just means it's that time they reinforce themselves. See, quiet time for them didn't mean lazy. During their quiet time, they were building and they were being productive. So quiet time wasn't just lazy time. Quiet time for them was when they were able to refocus, re-energize, get geared up for the next thing, you know, and to do everything they can to be reinforced in their spiritual life. Now, as we get ready to take a look at here in verse 9, we're going to see some things that begin to take place in their country, in their kingdom, that, of course, they had no idea was on the way. But it's a good thing that they had reinforced themselves, spiritually speaking, and also in other ways, materially, you know, and physically, things like that, because they were definitely going to need this time to help them. And so let's take a look at it. They're in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And let's begin there in verse 9. And I got some truths I want to pull out. I think it'll be a blessing to you in your spiritual life as we talk about the overcomer. Because there are things in life that we have to overcome. Things that come our way. These things that we prayed about tonight. Things going on in different people's lives. And these are obstacles that the folks are having to try to overcome. Obstacles that people are having to deal with in their life. And trying to see, they're praying and seeing what they can do to achieve success and victory in these things that they're facing in their life. And so as we begin there in verse 9, let's pull out some things I think will be a blessing to you. Notice the Bible says there in verse 9, and there came out against them, talking about Asa and the people of Israel, or Judah, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. And 300 chariots came unto Marshai. And so I want you to see there, they were in verse 9. I want to pull out the very first truth is, I want you to see their opposition. Their opposition. Now we understand that Asa, he had peace, he had in the kingdom and all that for 10 years. And he had a quiet kingdom for 10 years. God had definitely blessed them and God was helping them. And then, of course, there came this moment, there came this time when they had to face a tremendous battle, a tremendous enemy. Now the Bible says that this guy's name was Zerah. Now Zerah, he was an Ethiopian, but he was the king of Egypt. And you know, and I see it like this is, anytime what we see here is another picture of in the Old Testament that we see God's people trying to move forward, God's people trying to be productive, God's people trying to get things done, and then the devil doing everything he can to intervene. Amen. And that's what he does. That's what the devil does. He does everything he can to intervene. He does everything he can to get in the way. And so when he sees God's people
being blessed, and he sees God's people being reinforced in their spiritual lives and being productive and moving forward. One of the things the devil wants to do is he wants to rear his ugly head. He wants to make himself known. He wants to let everybody know that he's still here. And so what he did was he came up on God's people and he presented himself. Now the Bible shows us there his name is Zerah. His name means sunrise. That's what his name means. His name means sunrise. And so he was coming out of Egypt like he was the sunrise, you know, like he was it. And I want you to notice something else unique about this man's army. Now notice, not only do we see the opposition. The world was against God's people. The devil was against God's people. And that's what we see today exactly. The world and the devil against God's people, doing everything it can to oppose God's people in any way possible, any way, shape, or form. Doing everything it can to oppose the people of God. And there is an opposition out here that we face today. There is a real opposition, a real darkness, a real devil that we face every single day that is opposed to everything that is true and right and everything that God's people desire to do. And so that's what we see here, the devil doing everything he can to stand up in the face of God's people. But don't you notice what happened? So we see the opposition. We know where the opposition's coming from. It's coming from the world. It's coming from the devil. We see his name means sunrise. He obviously is an individual that wants to make himself known. The sun, and obviously a person that wants to be seen as someone who is powerful and someone who is strong, someone who has dominance and authority over all, and everything else is up underneath him. And that's exactly how the devil feels. That's exactly what the devil thinks, that he wants to be in complete control, complete power, have complete authority. I mean, he wanted to do the very same thing with the throne of God. He wanted to overtake the throne of God. He wanted to be in power. He wanted to be in charge. And so we kind of see the very same thing here in Zerah's name. He was the sunrise. Everything was up underneath him. Everything was below him. And so the devil's the same way. And so we see the opposition there. But despite the opposition, look at the odds. Notice the Bible says that he came with a host of 1,000,000. Now that's very interesting, because there's not many places you'll see in the Bible. Now that's a million man army. There's not many places in the Bible where you're going to see a million man army. One of the places you're going to see, I think one of the only other places you're going to see a million man army come on the scene is in the book of Revelation. I think that's the only other place that you'll find in the Bible where a million man army comes up on the scene. Now, in the Bible, you'll see that there are many people that are out there, 500,000, 700,000, 400,000. You'll see all these things. But I think this is the only place in Scripture other than Revelation itself where you'll see a million man army rise up against God's people here in the Bible in the Old Testament. And so we see that as they were able to have 10 years of peace. They were able to have 10 years of things going their way and 10 years of things being quiet in their life. But I tell you what, when things got ugly, they sure did turn ugly. And the devil did manifest himself in a tremendous way. And it's like he tried to come in his power and he tried to manifest his strength. You know, here I am. You know, the odds are against you. Never before has there ever been seen a million man army stand up against God's people. And now here Asa is, and he's looking at it straight in the face. And you can imagine, just like me, you know, maybe what some of the people were thinking as they looked out there and saw a million people ready to fight them. A million people ready to go to battle against them. And so we see not only their opposition, but we see their odds. The odds that they were up against. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times in our life we feel like we're up against the odds. You know, there's a lot of times in life we're saying, well, you know, the doctors say, well, there's the odds of this or such and such and such. And somebody said, well, the odds of getting this done is this, and the odds of fixing this is that. And hey, I understand that. And those odds, I get that. But listen, when we serve a God that can do anything, the odds are in our favor. Amen? The odds are in our favor when we serve a God that can do anything. Now, I know, as I said, everybody else has their odds, and they want us to know it, and they want to tell us that and all that. That's fine and dandy. I get it. But listen, we serve a God that the odds are in His favor all the time. Every time. because he can do anything. And so God's people, here they were, they had rest, they had a quiet kingdom for 10 years, and then all of a sudden the devil shows up with a million man army ready to defeat, ready to destroy God's people. And I can sure, you can probably imagine and think of times in your life as well when it seemed like, man, everything was going good, everything was going great, and then all of a sudden, something big just came up. Something great just seemed to stand in front of you. Something great just seemed to oppose you. And you begin to wonder, man, look at the odds of this. I mean, look how bad that is, and look at the odds. Look what we have to face. Look what we're going to have to try to overcome. But listen, when we serve a God like we do, we know that we can overcome anything. When we serve a God like we know that we do, that we know that we can overcome anything through him, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, the Bible tells us. And so we see that we can be an overcomer. Despite the opposition that we face, despite how strong the devil may seem, despite how strong the opposition may seem, we understand that we can overcome, we can win, we can have victory despite the opposition, despite the odds, no matter how it looks, no matter how many they are, despite the odds, we know that we can overcome because we serve a great God in heaven that can do all things. This says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll say that mountain be plucked up and removed from hence and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. And God says, you can do great things through me. Great things through me. And we can be overcomers in our life. And the devil would have you say, oh, well, the devil would have you believe, oh, look at the odds. You can't defeat that. Look at how bad things are. You can't defeat that. Are you serious? Are you really going to try to go up against that? I mean, the odds are completely against you. But as we talked about the other day, I was preaching on a message that seems very similar to this. When God is for us, who can be against us? When God's for us, who can be against us? Just another great example in the Bible where God shows us that whenever we're facing tremendous odds against the world and against the devil, if we'll just believe and trust in God, God can do some great things. God can move some mountains. God can do the impossible in our lives. And so the Bible shows us here, listen, we can be overcomers against the opposition. We can be overcomers against the odds. So we got to get out of this frame of mind that we got to get out of the physical frame of mind. And because you see, we calculate the numbers physically, and that's in the physical realm. But then whenever we extract ourselves from the physical realm and start looking at things from a spiritual perspective and understand that we serve a God that can do anything, well, then that changes the whole ball game. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sometimes we got to stop thinking about things all in the natural. We got to stop thinking about things all in the physical and begin to see it and understand it from God's perspective. Because you see, we can worry ourselves silly about all these different kinds of things, and God standing in heaven thinking, man, that's nothing. All I got to do is think about it. Amen? That's nothing. All I got to do is speak about it. All I got to do is think about it. That's nothing. And so understanding that we can be overcomers against the opposition, that we can be overcomers against the odds despite what they are, despite if it's a million-man army. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. We see there in verse 8 how the Bible even talks about what Asa had. Notice the Bible says that he has 300,000. Let's see, an army of bear target spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 200,000. Let's see, 204,000, so that's 280,000. All were mighty men. So he had nowhere near. He had nowhere near what the world had. I mean, his army was pretty much in half the size of what he needed to fight this battle. But God was there for him. So we see that we can be overcomers against the opposition. We can be overcomers against the odds. But what else can we overcome? Notice, Bible says there in verse 10, the Bible says, now I want you to notice the place where they fought. The Bible says he was the host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Marshe. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, it's interesting that the place that they fought, the place that they did battle, the name of that place, Marshe, it means inheritance or possession. And so it's interesting when you read it and you put it all together that the devil was coming to do battle against them, against their inheritance and against their possession. Hey, let me tell you what, the devil wants to do everything he can to take away any inheritance, to take away any possession. The devil wants to do everything he can to rob you and rid you of anything that God would love for you to have. And so the devil was coming up against them. He wanted to take their inheritance. He wanted to ruin their lives. He wanted to take all these things away from them. The Bible shows us there in verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah, and in the valley of Zephthah at Marshah. And the Bible shows us there in verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And so the next thing we see is we see their obedience. So we saw the opposition they were against. So we saw the opposition, but we also saw the odds that they were up against. But despite the opposition, despite who they were facing, despite the odds that they were up against, they were still obedient to what God said to do. They were obedient. They followed the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. You saw that in verse 5, you saw that in verse 11. Let's break it down. Take a look at it. What is one of the first things they did there in verse 11? How were they obedient? Well, the Bible says that, and Asa cried unto the Lord. What did he do? He prayed. He was obedient in his prayer. Listen, when he was facing this opposition, when he was facing the odds, what did he do? He went to God in prayer. He prayed about it. He brought it before the Lord. What else did he do? So the Bible says that Asa, he cried unto the Lord. So we see he prayed. What else did he do? We see that the Bible says, notice there, in verse 10, the Bible says that Asa went out. So he stood up. He was willing to stand up. He stood up. He prayed. He was willing to do everything he could to resist evil, to stand up in the face of it. And we see there in verse 11, what else did he do? We see there that he acknowledged God's power. Notice what he says. He says, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. He says, God, it's nothing for you. He says, God, you can do anything. I mean, to take care of this army, to take care of this opposition, to take care of these odds, God, it is absolutely nothing for you. I mean, you could wipe them out if it was a million-man army. You could wipe them out if it was just a one-man army. It doesn't matter how many, if they have a lot of power or if they have none. God, you're in complete control. You can do anything you want. And so he acknowledged his own weakness, and he acknowledged God's power. And so I think one of the things that we can do is, of course, show our humbleness before God and say, God, I know I can't do anything, but God, you are in control, and you're all powerful, and you're almighty, and this is in your hands. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. He knew that, God, that there's a million-man army standing in front of us. There is no way possible that we can overcome this. He knew the only way he can do it would be through God. There was a pitcher one day, two guys was sitting in the office, and one of the guys had come in, he was sitting down, he was talking with this old preacher one day, and he got to looking, and he was sitting in the preacher's office, and he noticed in the preacher's office he had this picture of a turtle that was sitting on top of a fence. And he was looking and looking and looking, and he said, you know what? He said, that's a very interesting picture you got there, preacher. He said, yeah. He said, what does that mean? He said, what is that all about? He said, how in the world did that turtle get up there? A turtle can't get up there. He said, no, not by himself. He said, the turtle knows he's going to have some help if he's going to get over that fence. He said, somebody put him up there. He said, I'll look at that picture because it helps me to understand that sometimes I need God's help to get me over. I can't do it on my own. And the only way that turtle got up there is because somebody put him there. And he says, it's a reminder to me that there are things in life that I can't do. There are things in life that I can't fight. There are things in life that I can't battle on my own. And God's going to have to help me. And the only way I'm going to get over there on the other side is if I'd be humble and depend on God. And I said, now when I look up there and I see that turtle on that fence, I know that that turtle didn't get up there on his own. Somebody helped him. And he said, that's what I need sometimes. That's what happens in my life. He said, sometimes I need that help. And so he understood that there was no way he was going to be able to do this on his own. He understood that, hey, I want to be an overcomer, but listen, sometimes I can't overcome on my own, by myself. I have to have God's help. And so he began to pray. He began to pray, and he was desiring, willing to stand up. He began to pray. He acknowledged God's power and strength. And then notice what he did there in verse 11. What else did he do? He just asked. He said, help us. He said, God, help us. Listen, the Bible says you have not if you ask not, right? So if you need some help, then ask for it. Ask for help. Say, God, I need your help here. God, please help me. I hear people say, well, I don't like to pray for myself. I don't know why. I pray for myself all the time. I need a lot of it. I need y'all to pray for me. Because I need a lot of it. Yeah. He asked for help. He said, help us. God, help us. We need your help. And so he prayed. He began to go to God about this situation. He acknowledged God's power. He was willing to stand up. He asked for help. And what else did he do there in verse 11? Well, he said, oh, Lord, our God, we rest on thee. We rest on thee. What was he doing? He was having faith. He was having trust in God. He was saying, God, we're resting on you. You're our power. You're our strength. You're the one that we're looking to get us through this thing. We can't do it by ourselves. Lord, we are resting on you. Now, you ever rested on something? You're kind of resting on something right now. You're resting on this pew. You're sitting on this pew, and the pew is bearing the burden. I don't mean that sarcastically. I'm just saying. The pew is bearing the burden. You are sitting on it. And I know this sounds bad, but you're sitting on it and it is bearing the burden. It is bearing the burden. Well, when we rest on God, that's what we do. He is our rock. And he is bearing the burden and bearing the load for us. And so he says, God, we are resting on you. You're going to be the one that gets us through this. You're going to be the one that gets us to the other side. God, we can't cross over. We're like this turtle. We can't cross over this by ourselves. We're going to have some help. And Lord, we are resting on you. Resting on you. Complete faith. Complete faith. Complete trust. What else do we see? Qualities that we can have to be an overcomer. Well, not only do we have complete faith and trust, but notice what he did. He said, oh Lord, our God, we rest on thee and in thy name. And in thy name we go. Listen, if you try to go in any other name, you may as well just pack up and go back to the house. He said, in your name we go. How can I be an overcomer? When I'm facing this opposition and I'm facing these odds, how in the world can I overcome? Well, you got to be willing to stand up. You got to be willing to pray. You got to be willing to acknowledge his power and his authority. And you got to be willing to be humble. You got to be willing to ask for help. You have to be willing to have faith and complete trust. And you have to be willing to go in his name, not your own, not his, not anybody else's. But he says, in thy name we go. Not in anybody else's name, because it is in the name of God where power rests. And he understood that. Asa understood that it was in the name of God that things are going to change. Not in his own name, not in anybody else's name or any other God's name, but he knew that it was only in the name of God that things were going to change, that things are going to be different. And listen, I don't understand or I don't know what opposition you face. I don't know what odds you're up against tonight. But listen, I do know this, that we can overcome because we serve a great God that can do all things, that nothing's impossible, and if we will call out to him and we will trust in him and have complete faith on him and rest on him and do all these things, that we serve a God that can help us to overcome in our spiritual life. He can help us, and we go in his name. How else can I be an overcomer in this situation? Notice he says, thou art our God. Oh Lord, thou art our God. That's possession. You claim God. You're our God. He says, let not man prevail against thee. What he was doing, he was already claiming the victory. He was already claiming the victory. He says, Lord, surely we're not going to let this evil right here have victory over us. Surely we're not going to let this evil right here, despite the opposition and despite the odds. God, I know that you are all powerful. There is no way possible. There is no way. We already know we got victory because we serve the greatest God of all. Because we serve an all-powerful God. He was claiming the victory before the victory even happened. Listen, that's why I say it. Sometimes we got to get out of the physical and we move from the physical to the spiritual. That's why the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Because you see, when we don't have faith, we're in the physical. When we have faith, we're in the spiritual. Does that make sense? Because faith is evidence of things what? Hoped for, not seen. That's exactly right. And so we move from the physical into the spiritual. And when we move from the physical into the spiritual, then we begin to see things in a completely different way. Because in the physical, we say, man, look at that opposition. Look at the odds. Look how bad that is. But then we jump over here in the spiritual, and then we have faith, and then our faith says, oh, what is that? That ain't nothing. Man, we serve a God that can do anything. You see the difference? We got to learn to get away from the physical and get over here into the spiritual, because faith will help us to see things in a completely, completely different way, in a completely different light. And so he was claiming the victory before it ever even happened. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Bible says that he said, let not man prevail against thee. Now, let's go to verse 12. The Bible says, So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now I want you to see, that's the omnipotence of God. Now we talked about the omnipotence of God, so I'm not going to talk about that again necessarily so much, but the omnipotence of God, what we see here, that God has complete power, complete control over everything. I mean, we got a million man army. I mean, look at the opposition, look at the odds. There has never been seen before on the face of the earth an army this size come up against God's people, and then God intervened. And God intervened, and the Bible says there in verse 12 that the Lord smote the Ethiopians. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. And He did it through Asa and those people's faith. He did it through their faith. They went ahead and claimed the victory, and God moved. And God moved in a tremendous way, and God gave the victory. And so we see the omnipotence of God there, how He is in complete control over the situation. So whatever it is you face tonight, whatever it is you're up against, understand that we serve an omnipotent God, a God that is all-powerful. Verse 13, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And so the Bible shows us here in the omnipotence of God what all that God did. The Bible shows us that God overthrew the enemy, and then God's people began to run, and God's people ran towards the enemy. And as they began to fight, and God going before them and fighting with them, the Bible says that they were destroyed. They were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote all the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. And so the very last truth we see there is their overabundance. Their overabundance. Listen, man, God blessed, and God moved, and God done some great things in the sight of these people. And He moved and done some great things in the sight of these people because they believed, because they trusted. When they faced something that the world had never even seen before, God's people stood up and faced it. When they faced odds that nobody had ever seen, when they faced a situation that all the countries of the world looked at and probably thought to themselves, there is no way God's people can make it through that. And then God manifested himself and he showed up strong on behalf of God's people. And he destroyed their enemies, helped his people to overcome them. And then they ended up, and God blessed them over abundantly. God gave them an abundance of blessings. And I don't know where you're at right now tonight and maybe your battles or your struggles or where if you're trying to overcome things, whatever it is, wherever you're at. But I do know this. I know that if we'll trust in him and we'll call upon him and we'll rest on him, that God will help us. That God will help us. That he will help us to be overcomers in our life. And it may be hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, but I tell you what, we serve a God that, I mean, blessing could be just right around the corner. So why give up now? Why quit now? Why stop now? Just keep pressing forward. Just keep marching forward. Keep trusting in God. And God's going to bless and God's going to move. And God's going to do things that maybe you've never even seen in your life before. So trust in him. Believe on him. And I believe God will definitely give you an overabundance. We talked about Job a little bit this morning and what he faced. And I tell you what, God definitely blessed him at the very end as well. So stay strong, stay focused, stay in the fight. Despite the odds, despite the opposition, you just be obedient to God. Understand that he has the omnipotence, and God will definitely give you an overabundance of blessings. Let's pray.